Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all know I was in Don Stash on that one, and I love that song. It's Gonna Take a Miracle to Make Me Find Someone New. Oh, I'm crazy about you, and I'm so glad you are. We love Denise Williams, and when she was on our show, what a beautiful woman, and just how kind and gentle she was here on Solar Records Radio. What's going on, my brother, Mr. Don Fleming? How are you?
I'm good. What's going on, man? I,
I love that song. I love her version. You know, what's so crazy is that is a remake. And you know, as a kid, of course, you know, you're 8 years old. You're like, oh, she bringing that doo-wop sound back, you know, from, you know, because, you know, watching Happy Days and things like that. Come to find out, that was a remake from 1964, a group out of Baltimore by the name of the Royalettes. And their version of It's Gonna Take a Miracle, of course, produced by the late, great Teddy Randazzo. Just a beautiful song. 7 years later, Laura Nyro covered it also, along with Patti LaBelle. Their version is amazing. So check out all three versions of that song. Just an amazing, of course, Denise just, you know, took it and, you know, and made it her own. But, you know, again, got to go back to the Royalette version, you know, if you want to get some history out of it. But definitely her Niecy album from 1982. And again, it was just a pleasure to have her on the show a few years back. Just an amazing, amazing and humble woman. What's so amazing about her is, you know, we get in fan mode every now and then, and I know Wardell does too, you know, since even though he's a celebrity himself. But what's so crazy is while, you know, we follow their careers, or, you know, Wardell follow her career and whatnot, she followed theirs. And she was a fan also of what Solar accomplished in all of the Solar catalog. So, I mean, that was that mutual respect. And me as a spectator, a host of the show, but as a spectator, just listening to them, you know, just talk about each other as far as the music and their legacies and that mutual, again, that mutual respect there. I mean, it's just amazing. Couldn't ask for anything more. And again, we got to get back on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, we look forward to that opportunity. So later on in the show, we'll play one of her
songs. Okay.
Cool. But, you know, we're trying to be ready for the same time with our artists. Hey, you know, we're gonna play whatever we can of her, and like Don always said, we want to give you your flowers while you're still here. So we want to make sure we show her all the love, respect, while we can and stuff, and while she's here. So guys, you know, thank you so much for tuning in today to Solar Record Radio. Love to everybody. My, what a fun interview we had yesterday, Don. I haven't laughed so long.
Ray was just amazing, man. Just an amazing person.
Yes, Raymond is out of control.
It's part two, and here's the thing: there was a part one a few weeks ago where you got a chance to interview him, but I wasn't. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to you know, be there, but yesterday I was. And it's all about the history. It's all about the legacy and the things that you did not know. You know, again, there's always room to learn things. There's always room, you know, even as, you know, a history person, you know, people may claim I'm this history person. There's things that I still don't know. And when you find out these little tidbits and whatnot, it's almost like you're a kid again. Your eyes light up, you know, and, you know, just the things this man accomplished, you know. And I always joke with Wardell, you know, that he has to Google himself, you know, with all of the things that he's done, you know. And the fact that, you know, we had, you know, to me, you know, what, 50-plus years of just that history in this one man able to share it. Again, you know, couldn't do it in an hour and a half, couldn't compress all of that history in an hour and a half span. But at the same time, the knowledge was still imminent, and it was just amazing nonetheless, the things that I was able to hear and I was to talk to him about, and the questions that I was able to ask, the questions that you asked. Man, you know what? We're getting pretty good at this question thing, man. I'm just saying.
Yes. I enjoy doing
this whole interview thing. We're getting great. We're pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear
Greg
you fine.
Said I was, Greg, yeah, I switched lines because Greg said I was breaking up pretty badly, so working
just
on the other microphone. Yeah.
Okay.
So, okay, but anyway, so, yeah, we are enjoying ourselves, and we're going to have a conversation a little later in the show, not too long, but Mr. Chuck Gentry, our special guest, is going to call in. And we're going to chop it up with him in regards to songwriting. Don, you explain.
Well, you know, I guess to put a long story short, well, we're going to get into it a little bit later. You know, of course, Ed Sheeran won his case against the whole, you know, I guess the whole copyright of songs and, you know, people, quote, unquote, stealing songs and things like that. Well, he won his case. I think the Marvin Gaye estate allegedly sued him for Let's Get It On versus his song. What's the name? It escapes me. But you can hear the similarities. We have our kind of opposing views about it, but we're going to talk a little bit about it later. Of course, we're going to have Chuck Gentry on to kind of just lay, you know, his viewpoints on it and whatnot. Again, it's all about growth. It's all about learning something. And also, I want to mention this, and I know this is off script, but I got to say something. I found out that Frankie Beverly and Maze, the actual band Maze, are splitting off. And they're doing two different summer tours, Frankie Beverly doing his own thing. And Maze, the crazy part of it is Maze is having, I think the formerly band Maze, I think this is going to be the name of their group or whatever, but they're splitting off. I don't know what's the situation with that. But the lead singer is going to be Chris Walker. Chris Walker we had on the show, I think about a month back. And but anyway, get into that. Once I find out a little bit more of the details, I'll let you guys know later on in the show. But, yeah, Frankie Beverly and Maze, it looks like they kind of, you know, parted ways. So
well,
I want to kind of get to the bottom.
Frankie Beverly is retiring, from what I hear. And so is his last year. This is his last year, and they want to continue to do their thing. So that's why you're having two different groups all of a sudden. But I believe that they're going to still play with him until the end of the year. So through the summer when the season is over. And they're supposed to continue to do it, and he's going to retire. His voice is gone. It's almost non-existent.
Oh my goodness!
You know, from what I hear, you know, it's vocal cords are burnt out. So that's what I'm hearing. And so we'll see what happens. We just pray for the best. Also, I there was a concert. I think Anita Baker and Babyface were performing, and Babyface.
I kind of skimmed through. I think Stephanie Mills had mentioned about it, and Babyface had said something. I don't know if it was on Instagram, but saying that, you know, we were supposed to perform and whatnot, but because, and I guess Anita had, because of what the time constraints, Anita had to extend her show or something. So Stephanie was a little ticked off about it. You know, she pulls no punches. And, you know, it's just one of those things, man. You know, sometimes we get in these diva modes or jackal modes and whatnot, and we kind of forget, you know, you know, where we kind of come from. We've got to humble ourselves sometimes. But I don't know what the situation is. I'm not going to jump on Anita Baker or anything like that. But, you know, initially when you heard about it, you're like, wait a minute. Come on now, Anita. What's the situation with that? Now, Anita and Cheryl Lynn, if you guys remember about probably 5, 6, 7 years ago, Anita Baker and Cheryl Lynn had a little Twitter beef. And it was, you know, all on Black Twitter at the time. And Anita Baker had blocked her. And she was, and Cheryl Lynn was posting, like, why you block me, sis? Why you block me? What's going on? What did I do? So I don't know. I don't know what the situation is with Miss Baker. I love her music. I still love her music. I love Babyface music. Hopefully they'll come to some agreement and resolve whatever situation it is. But I'm on the outside looking in, so I don't want to just speculate too much.
Okay. Yeah, we don't want to do that. We, you know, because it's really a tough business. And you know, these guys are constantly traveling. This is how they make a living. They're out there, like, all the time, you know. And, you know, sometimes, like, Greg just went on a very nice vacation overseas. And, I mean, he was gone for quite a while as far as I was concerned. Because I'm so used to him being in the studio. And when he wasn't here, I was freaking out. And so it was, to me, he was gone for a long time. But when he got back, he was just talking about how fatigued he was, you know, and mm-hmm. the jet lag and all that kind of stuff. And but he still had his own business that he had to continue to run. And so, but you're still exhausted just from traveling. You know, that traveling thing is real intense. So you got that on top of, wait a minute, it's not a vacation. This is my livelihood. I have to do this all the time. And so then you run into people with attitudes that are really frustrated, and then the equipment breaks down, or a tour bus will break down and they can't make it. The people can't get their sound checks on time. And before you know it, everything gets pushed back, and the show is not starting at 8 o'clock. Now the show is starting at 9 o'clock, and all the artists are now getting squeezed for their time on the stage. And so from what I was told was that Babyface was told not to come on the stage, period. He was told not to even come out and perform. Not like a shorter time, but don't, you know, perform.
Yeah. That's crazy. But again, no speculation. We'll probably hear something. I'll probably go on Twitter and check something out right quick or whatnot and kind of, you know, update the people if there are any updates. So, again, no speculation. It's just, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't know. Anita's, you know, you hear the stories, and, you know, you hear the stories about, you know, how Luther Vandross did in Vogue and all of these stories. And again, man, it's at the end of the day, it's about the fans. You know, it's about, you know, humbling yourself. And again, this is no direction at Anita Baker or whoever. I'm just saying, you know, when you're out there performing and or getting ready to perform, you know, it's all about the fans at the end of the day, because, you know, those they butter your bread, and, you know. So,
yes.
And, you
yes.
know, being in that the profession. So, but anyway, man, let's get to some music.
Let's get to the music. Come on. I might just ask, look at that Drill of Vert. Can you handle it? And what was the other one, Funny? Tell me which one you want me to play.
You know what? He did a song, he did in 2002 called Funny. You guys check out the music video. Very weird music video, but a great music video nonetheless. I love that song. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say it was his last. He did a posthumous album, and I think he won a Grammy for that in 2006 or 2007, because he passed in 2006. This is from 2002. Go ahead and play that Funny, man, and we'll come back.
All right, we'll be right back.
Like today, God, I spend. living, but there ain't no rest for the weary man. Everything seems to get me down, looking everywhere just to find a smile. Then the phone rings.
I'm not
You're listening to Solar Records Radio. Of course, it is Throwback Thursday, Retro Thursday, however you want to call it. Music from Mr. Freddie Jackson. Have you ever loved somebody? And of course, before. Had to hook up a little After Hours by Chico DeBarge. Yeah, we're having a little audio difficulties. What's going on? What's going on, Wardell? What's the situation?
Hey, man. Well, you know, you just hear this music right here in the background while you're talking there. And we got the brother that wrote and produced and the artist on this song getting ready to chop it up with us. So we get ready to have a good time. If I could just get the right song to play. Right.
Y'all know it?
There we go. There he is. All right. So, anyway, y'all hear that music right there. I'm going to let y'all hear a little bit of it. This is our brother, Mr. Chuck Gentry, and we're getting ready to chop it up with him right after this. So just kick back for a second, and we'll be right back.
Please take me back once again.
cats, the fed cats. No.
All right. My brother from another mother,
hey.
Mr. Chuck Jenkins. What's up,
hey
Chuck?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How's everything?
Oh, man, we are good to go. It's nice to hear your voice. And, we're just having fun, man. Just got over COVID, I'm ready to have some fun. And so that right there, that groove right there is one of those kind of grooves that make you just, you get ready to get busy with that one. So, man, can you just tell us a little bit about that particular song? How did you come up with that? How did that come together for you and your project?
Obviously a long time ago, I was just coming up with grooves, and I was thinking the way Luther used to do some of his swing grooves, and that always puts you in a good mood. And so I just decided to come up with, just something that felt like a Luther kind of groove, but without copying Luther.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And so I got together with my friend Lee Peters, used to be with Collage, and he was my favorite writing partner back in those days, and called him over, and he came over, and we sat down and worked out the lyrics, and, the song was born. So then I got Vince over there, we laid the demo, and next thing I know, we got a record deal on A&M Records.
Did y'all record it at A&M as well?
No, it was recorded at Swing Street Recording Studios in Sacramento.
Okay.
Yeah. And
how did you end up getting the deal at A&M?
Through a lawyer. He let some people hear the demos that I had done. And then I got a few phone calls and went down to L.A. for a meeting. And the next thing I know, I was signed to A&M Records. I didn't really want, to be honest with you, I didn't want a record deal personally. It just kind of happened. I was looking for a publishing deal and a writing deal.
I wasn't
looking for a record deal.
Okay.
I prefer to be behind the scenes producing and writing. That's how that came about,
Yes, sir. That's excellent, man. Do you know what year that was?
That was recorded in 87. Recorded in 87, released in January of 88.
Okay, because I was there at A&M.
Okay.
I was a writer at Alma Irving. I was signed with those guys. And so I was right across the street, the A&M lot, and then right across the street was the publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I was at. Did you end up doing a publishing deal with them as well?
Yes.
Okay,
they
good. So did you know Brenda Andrews?
It rings a bell, but I can't say for sure. Hold on just a second. Let me come through this room. I cannot say for sure because I met so many people over at A&M.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Were you recording out of state or were you recording in Cali?
In California. That's where I was living.
Okay, cool.
I was in California. At the time that I got the deal, I was living up in Davis, California.
Okay.
And
all right.
Yeah, so we did most of the recording up there and then came down to L.A. and did everything else. Sweetening and all that stuff. Mixing.
Right. I can't believe it. Hey man, much love to you. I just wanted to know those little details and stuff, but it's nice to have you on the show here, man. We love you, appreciate you, and
oh,
we
God
keep
bless
your legacy
you,
alive.
I appreciate
Oh, yeah.
I appreciate that, Wardell. I really do.
Yeah,
Wardell, I'm done. I appreciate y'all keeping the brother alive.
Give me flowers while you're here, bro. Giving you your flowers while you're here. Love
hey,
your
man.
Music, love your legacy.
Nothing
that
is more appreciated than that.
It's amazing.
So I just want to jump into your brain as a songwriter. You and I kind of chopped it just a little bit earlier today in regards to the lawsuit from the Marvin Gaye estate against Ed Sheeran. And so, Ed, he won. And so that's really good for him. But you know, when I started hearing about it at first, I was kind of, it was a difficult thing for me. Because that's what we do, right? We're songwriters. And so it's like, you know, and I've been there where someone has songs that sound just like mine. And so it put me in a place. But then, you know, when I started really like investigating it, because I was thinking, like, how difficult is it or how unfair is it to have people of the jury that are not songwriters, that don't understand what chord progressions are. You know, they don't understand melodies and all this stuff. But they have to sit there and make a decision as to if this man actually stole this other man's song. And I'm saying, that's not fair. That's a terrible place to put these people. You know, that's not fair.
Yeah.
They don't know. That's like me trying to tell you about, mechanics
guitar
on a car.
School.
I know. I have, guitar. Exactly. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I could go off of what
you
say.
Know.
Well, it feels really good, but that's not fair. That's not fair.
But
go ahead.
My understanding, I saw Ed Sheeran do an interview a couple days ago, as a matter of fact, and how he showed the jury what was happening. He showed them, he played his guitar in the court.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he played those chord progressions, and he sang the melodies to different songs that had that same chord progression long before songs that came out and were hits, before Marvin Gaye's song came out. And he played the same chord progressions. For example, he played those chords, and then he sang People Get Ready. Remember the Impressions song that came out in the 60s?
Yeah, Eddie Kendricks.
That's the same chord progression.
Mm.
And then he sang some other songs that have the same chord progression.
Right.
And so the jury was able to see, you can't copyright the idea of a chord progression.
It's not fair.
You just can't. Right. Well, you can't do it. It can't be done. Can't copyright like a couple bars of a chord progression. It just can't be done. And so he showed them that, and that's how they came to their conclusion.
Right, because they would have to give him.
So that's how they came to it.
They would have to give Marvin Gaye rights to all those other songs as well.
Yeah, exactly.
If you were able to do that. And so for those who may not know what we're talking about, I'm just going to play you a little clip of what we're talking about, so everybody's on the same page. So give me a second.
Okay.
I'll play this and we'll be right back. Check it out.
Okay.
Don't work like they used to before, and I can't sweep you off of your feet. Will your mouth still remember the taste of my love? Will your eyes still smile from your cheek? Darling, I've been really trying, baby, trying to hold back the feeling for so long. Baby, my heart could still feel that heart at 23. And I'm thinking about how
take me into your loving arms. Kiss me under the light of a thousand stars.
Nothing wrong with me loving you, baby, no, no. And giving yourself to me can never be wrong.
My head's all but gone and my memory.
Okay, so you know, yeah. when you listen to that, right? And you know, I mean, that's the, mm-hmm. you know, the best version I was able to pull up. But that you got the same drum beat, you got the same tempo, but you cannot copyright
that's
that.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah,
no,
you got the same drum beat, you got the same tempo, but you can't copyright that. And so I just think that it's really sad. You know, if people are going to start going after anyone that has something that sounds similar to theirs, because like Prince, like Prince is the people that are now running his situation. I mean, they're all over the place. They're doing stuff that they're trying to find things to do. You know.
Yeah.
You know, like messing with Morris Day and the Time, saying you can't use that name anymore. You know, it's like, what are you
saying? What?
What are you talking
somebody,
about? You take... Yeah, from
wait, somebody
the Prince,
actually did that.
Yeah, they told him that he couldn't use the name anymore because
oh,
it was
you know,
Prince.
Back around, I want to go ahead and let the listeners know. Back in 2010, 2011, you know. The Time, the original Time, had an album out called Condensation. And at the time, Prince had the rights to the name. He wouldn't let them use the name on the album. So they had to call themselves the Original Seven. And then at the bottom of little letters, formerly known as the Time. But they were called the Original Seven. And Morris Day, you know, I don't know if Jelly Bean or you know, confirm it, but Morris was a little upset because, you know, the record didn't sell because a lot of people didn't know the name. People didn't know the Original Seven. People knew the Time. So, and you know, it was just a whole crap storm behind that. And, you know, I guess they got it resolved before, of course, before Prince passed away. But, yeah, around 2011, the album Condensation came out, and they had to name themselves the Original Seven. And you know, it was unfortunate. I bought the album. I still listen to it to this day. Great album. But I guess it just didn't give the people just didn't know who the Original Seven was because we all knew them as the Time, and that probably hurt the record sales a little bit or the streams or whatever.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, yeah.
Sure. That's, I didn't know any of that. I really didn't.
Yeah. But you know, as a songwriter, you know, and I explained to you earlier, Chuck, about the thing with Guy and Carrie Lucas, you know, and that was my song, and it's the same thing. Now, the difference in that was that not only did you use the same melody in the chord progression, but you also used the same words. So that's so that was like, okay, that's just too close. But what happened with Ed Sheeran's song to me was a similar vibe, but they were completely two different songs. Completely.
Exactly.
And I did not, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to be non-biased. And when I being non-biased, that's my truth right there. That, you know, Ed Sheeran to me didn't do anything wrong, you know. And I know he performed it. Yeah, he performed both songs. They played them together in a concert before. And people were saying, well, that right there goes to show you that he stole it. But if you're stealing something, you're not going to sit up there and play it and show everybody what you're stealing.
No.
So, You know,
no.
But it's just think about, you know, the song, you know that, when the night has come and the land is gone and the moon is on, Stand By Me. That chord progression is in so many songs.
Exactly.
So many songs. So we cannot just go around and pick on people and try to take advantage of people just because they have something that sounds similar to ours. We're more alike than we want to claim that we are. We have similar tastes. We like some of the same things. We like some of the same food. We like some of the same. We're attracted to some of the same people. We're attracted to some of the same music. We're attracted to some of the same chords.
Right.
We're attracted to some of the same melodies, right? And so you can't, you cannot take that away from creative people that may create those same things as well and say, oh, you created something that he created. We're going to punish you. That's disgusting.
That's right. Start stifling the creative process, and the writers, and before you know it, the music is starting to dry up, and just, you know, changing the face of music. Then,
right. So, you know, I heard a song. I don't know, Donna. Oh, Don's not here, but there was a song that sounds just like. For the Lover in You by Shalimar. I'm trying to think. I have it somewhere, but I can't remember the name of the artist. Don, you know what song I'm talking about? The For the Lover in You, the song?
You sent me an artist. Know Ella May. Ella May, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Okay.
Ella May. I know that name.
Yeah,
well,
she had a song called years ago called Booed Up. She's working with Babyface right now. She's from the UK. Great song. I mean, great artist.
Okay, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it sounds.
The whole chord progression again. You know, I'm a little intermediate when it comes to all that. You guys, I leave that to the professionals. I think when you have, to me, when it becomes, and I want to make this point real quick, and I know you guys, you know, want to add, you know, definitely add your experience to it. But let me say this. I think once you get into the litigious aspect of it, you know, when all of these lawsuits, I feel like people are going to open this Pandora's box, you know, a lot of people, and it's up to the jury to decide, you know, the situations with the chord progressions and the melodies and is it going to be, is this song an A flat or, you know, B major or whatever, you know, it's going to be up to the judge and the jury. And, you know, it just depends on the type of professionals you have on the witness stand to kind of explain it and run it through, because a lot of juries will not know about chord progression and things like that. So you have to kind of, and not hold their hand like a child. I don't want to make any grown person feel like they're a child, but at least guide them to where they'll understand it a little bit clearly, more clear. So now, because of the internet, because of social media, because people have their opinions, you might read the comment section and someone says, oh, you should sue, or you should do this, you should do this. And to me, that may amp people up to say, okay, well, I'm going to take these people to court and I'm going to, I'm going to file a lawsuit. And sometimes, you know, again, you know, there's that old saying, you know, if you have a dollar and a ham sandwich, you can convict, send anybody to court.
That's true.
So we just don't want to feel like you opening Pandora's box at the end of the day, especially, you know, with the whole, even 7 years ago, 8 years ago, with the blurred line situation. You know, I think the estate, the gay estate, they won that case, you know.
And that still baffles me.
You know, I don't, you know, it's still, yeah, it bugs me on that end, because I don't know what the gay family or the gay state or what they're trying to accomplish at the end of the day. I don't know if it's about, you know, leaving a legacy or holding on to a certain legacy. I don't know. I'm not in their head. But, you know, to me, with the whole blurred line situation and the Ed Sheeran situation, I want you to add your expertise on it, man, because, I mean, your opinion is valuable in this conversation. You said you didn't understand that. Explain to the people why you just didn't understand that one, and in contrast to the whole gay estate Sheeran case.
The blurred, yeah, I know what you mean. The blurred line thing puzzled me. It really did, because I didn't hear, as a musician, I didn't hear anything that sounded like Marvin Gaye. What I noticed was that the rhythm pattern, the rhythm pattern, the percussion, the drums, that was the only similarity. And it wasn't copying. It was just a similar rhythm pattern, percussion, drums. The bass line was different. The chord structure was different. The melody that they were singing was different. The only similarity was the rhythm, just the percussions. And how they won that lawsuit, it baffles me. I just don't get it. I really don't understand. But it just seems like that jury felt otherwise. So, you know. But yeah, it really makes you skeptical about when you step into starting to write a song. Now you have to think twice about what chord structure you're using, what your melody is going to be. You know, I don't know what to.
Well, that's the whole problem. That's the concern right there, Chuck. The skeptical part. If it makes you hesitate or just do anything that takes away from your creativity, that's a problem.
That's it.
That's the problem right there. And so, So that's why they can't do that. They have to stop this, because it'll make the songwriters think so much that now they've lost where they were going. You know, you can't make me think so. Yeah, I'm trying to focus on going here, but now I got to worry about what this other person may say, or what this, you know, what the jury may say if it sounds like something else. I got to start listening to my songs to see if it sounds like something else. That's ridiculous. I'm just writing, and we just have to be able to be creative. We need to be able to be creative and not worried.
What else? I tell you, yeah, I tell you, I used to do this a lot. Whenever I was coming up with a song, and there was a time when I was just cranking out songs all day, every day, because that was my job. And when they came to me too easily, I had to get outside opinion. Does this sound like anything? Is this someone else's song? I really did that. You know, I kind of struggled with that a little bit, because sometimes a song would just come to me over, you know, just a matter of minutes. Right. And I'm thinking to myself, did I hear that somewhere else? Is that what I'm doing? So, so you really have to be, now you have to really second guess everything you're doing.
Yes, sir. Yeah, and that's I think that is a disservice to the creativity of songwriters.
To the creative process, right?
Yeah, that element needs to be deleted. You know, I don't want to see us get, you know, be put in that box. It's scary.
I agree.
I remember people would take a song, right? They would take a song that was a hit, and they would record it, take that song and record it into their recording device, and then they would start writing songs that had the same feel. and the same concept to try to win that feel over. As a matter of fact, a couple people that I know, they even took my drum beat and took my drum beat off of And the Beat Goes On and put it on other hit songs that were out there so that they said that. And I got paid for that. They paid me later when I found out that was happening. And they said that we wanted that same feel. And so, what about that part, Chuck? And this is, I hear a lot of noise in the background. I don't know what it is, but it's really strange that writers and creative people produce. Go ahead.
You're saying someone sampled your drum pattern?
Kashif
used it on another song. Really?
Yeah, he took it. He recorded he took the drums off of And the Beat Goes On, and he put it in his Sinclair, and then he created Love Come Down for Evelyn Champagne Kiss.
Oh.
So, am I supposed to be able to say, I'm going to sue you for stealing the vibe?
Well, no.
Exactly.
No.
You can't do that, but people have done that.
In the box, you just don't want to go down because, again, we live in a litigious society now, and social media has kind of amplified these voices, you know, that sometimes come from, and I hate to say it, come from an ignorant place. You know, people don't know the music. People don't understand, you know, melody and keys and, like, again, chord progression.
There's a lot of noise in the background. It's going crazy. It's very loud.
I can't hear you.
I hear both of you guys clearly, but I also hear like our conversation in the background somewhere booming. It's really loud. Okay, all right. So anyway, but listen, we're gonna keep on moving here, and I just want to say thank you, Chuck, for calling in, man, and just sharing your thoughts about that. We appreciate you, and we love you, man.
Oh, God bless you, man. I love you, too. Love you guys. Thanks for being here. Yeah. I said I'm glad you're better. Feeling
oh,
better.
Well, thank you. Hey, you're getting a shout-out from Greg from overseas. He says, nice to hear you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, Greg.
All right, so listen, I'm gonna go. We gotta figure out what this noise is. So we'll be back.
All
thank
right,
you, guys
you guys
so much. Thanks,
Mr.
Chuck. Go ahead,
all right,
Chuck.
Take care now.
Ed, appreciate it, bro. Good talking to you.
All right, brother. All right, Doug. God bless you. Take care, man.
You all too.
Right.
You too.
We'll be right back.
Feel so close to you right now, it's a force field. I wear my heart up on my sleeve like a big deal. Your love pours down on me, surround me like a waterfall. And there's no stopping us right now, I feel so close to you right now.
us right now. I feel so close to you right now. Right now, and there's no stopping us right now, and there's no stopping us right now.
Arushi, he looks like a sin.
Well, guys, we have a special guest on the line with us right now. Mr. Greg, what's up? Greg's in the house, y'all.
Wow, am I a special guest?
You are a special guest. You've been gone for a while, and so you are back in the studio. Welcome home, my brother.
Thank you. I had a great time.
Oh, good, good, good. Now, where did you go?
Hello?
Yeah, can you?
Greg?
Your mic's breaking up a little bit. What's up, Greg? Your mic's breaking up just a little bit, Wardell.
Wardell, yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I heard you.
I said, where did you go on your holiday?
Okay. So I used to live in Australia for 12 years. So I have an Australian passport. I have dual nationality, so I have an English passport, a British passport, and an Australian passport. So I lived in Queensland, which is on the east coast, for 4 years, and then I lived in Perth on the west coast for 9 years. So I left Queensland in 1990 and haven't been back since. So this is my first time since 1990. It was great. It was wonderful.
Wow, that was a long flight too, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a long flight, and especially the fact that we were delayed from LA to London by 7 hours. So what should have been an 11-hour flight took between 17 and 18 hours, and we had two faulty planes, can you believe? Two faulty planes.
Okay, faulty means that there was something wrong with it, the mechanical.
It was technical difficulties, yeah.
Oh, geez. Well, thank God they were able to. I mean, sometimes, you know, okay, we got to get it fixed. This is better.
Yeah.
It's better to get it fixed than not, right? So, unfortunately. I'm so grateful that you, I mean, those pictures are great and stuff. And you know, you left and I broke here, y'all. Don lost his voice. Didn't you lose your voice this last week or so?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what was wrong with me. I guess
you should
had a little bug. I had a little bug, and yeah, I lost my voice. I was I'm kind of at 90-something%, even right now. Probably, 95-96%. I'm back to normal, I say. But yeah, I lost my voice, and it was hell because, I'm on the air. Wardell calls me. Wardell wants me to come on the show, and I'm like, keep talking, man. So I'm
Nothing to work with. Nothing to work with.
I like it. Love it.
But anyway, man, we're so glad that you were able to get out and do that and have a good time and you made it back home safely and now you're back on the grind and stuff. And so it's just good to hear your voice and know that you're good and like it. Now, while you were gone in your own country, there was a great celebration. Did you feel like, man, we kind of missed that, or are you not into that?
No, I'm not really bothered about the celebration. But the only thing I will say is that although I'm not a royalist, I will say that I think that I'm glad that it was handed down to Charles, not to William. Because Charles was born to do this. And I don't think Charles has ever really fulfilled what he was born to do. And a lot of people, a lot of people in Britain wanted to go straight down to William. But Charles is now in his 70s. He's still in good health. And even if he only gets 10 years out of being on the throne, I think that Charles is... Charles is the last of the true monarchs. once it's been handed down to William and Kate, it will become different.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It will change.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Whole new generation. New time.
So I'm glad that it went to Charles. So I'm really happy about that.
That's great. Yeah, me too. He's been waiting for a long time. Grandma wasn't going anywhere. I was thinking this lady is never going to die. Whoa, I think she did a great job, and it's easy to criticize, somebody from afar.
I like Charles. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. I like Princess Diana. I was a big fan of her.
Oh, well,
so.
Me too.
So, all right. So the last thing before we get out of here, I want you to know I watched the Whitney Houston movie, and boy, I cried like a baby. What the crap? I didn't even want to watch it. And then I said, and Gayla was like, come on, watch it with me, please. I said, oh, okay. And then I could not. I was like, The actress that played that. Have you seen it yet, Don?
Oh.
Yeah.
Have you
seen it? I watched it. I enjoyed it, man. I prepared myself because I didn't want to go on social media and hear any comments or say. I kind of got a clear mind when I watched it, and after doing that, man, it was pretty good. That young lady played that role.
Whoa,
and,
she did a great job. Oh my god!
And, especially the lady who played her mother, Sissy. Wow,
mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah,
it's on Netflix for all of those. If you guys have Netflix, it's on Netflix also. So make sure you check it out if you get some time.
What is it called? Is it called Whitney? What is it called?
I want to dance with somebody.
The girl that played Robin Crawford played a brilliant part. She convinced me that she was Robin Crawford. She was great.
Yes. Yeah, that was great. I mean, that was...
And also that played Clive Davis. Wow. It was like watching Clive Davis.
Yes, and okay. Also the guy that played Bobby Brown, I was like impressed. I'm like, this is really it was just really a really great job, and I mean all the way through. And the way that they ended it was so classy. They didn't show her dying in the bathtub, and they didn't show her daughter dying in the bathtub either. And so it so much class. It just okay, y'all. The ending, so we don't need to show that part, and we'll just give the credits and talk about the date of her death, and it was just done very well. It's a very well done documentary, right? Is that what that is?
No, it's a movie. It's a biopic. It's a
biopic.
Yes, there you go. All right.
Oh, let me add, we got about another, 8 minutes left. I wanted to, remember we talked about Frankie Beverly and Maze? I'm looking at an article right now I think it's called ourblackunion.com, and they're saying Frankie Beverly and original members of Maze split, touring separately this summer. So apparently Frankie Beverly is still touring. Rumors of Frankie Beverly's possible retirement and health surround the future of the iconic band. So you're right in that perspective, but as far as this summer, they're doing separate tours. So be on the lookout for that. The group is called, I'm scrolling down. Give me a second. They're going to be called The Formerly of Maze, featuring Frankie Beverly, co-founder Rome, who formed the group. Let's see. They're going to be on tour with Anthony Hamilton this summer, and of course, going to be joined by Chris Walker, of course, friend of the show. We had him on the show last month. He's going to be kind of like that lead. So. And I guess, again, like you said, Frankie Beverly you know, everyone talks about his health, and, you know, and I think he had a bout with, I think, pancreatic cancer, if I'm not mistaken. So I get it. You know, he's almost 80 years old. So,
wow.
Yeah. So, but he's still out there. Apparently he's still out there touring, this summer. So, be on the lookout for both concerts.
Okay. Oh my goodness gracious. I it's so much stuff going on with all these different bands. And, so, but you know, what's the name of the artist that did the song, Express Yourself?
Charles Wright.
He has a new record coming out. He has a new record coming out at 80 years old. I love it. I love it. And so I'm like, are you kidding me? Charles Wright has a new song coming out? Well, here we go. I didn't even know he was still around. So I guess they figure, you know, if the president can run for president at 80. Can I put out a new song at 80? All right. Julian told me to give guys her love. She's texting in, sending my love to Don and Greg. Are you guys still there? Greg, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here, yeah. Love to Julian.
Much love, Julian. All right, Julian. We love you, sweetheart. Happy Mother's Day. All the mothers this weekend. We want y'all to all have a wonderful time. Guys, you know, I know some of us got wives and stuff, so y'all need to make time for mom. Make time for mom, you know, and enjoy. And, you know, of course, we got to take our wives out, too. I mean, those mothers as well. But, you know, but don't forget mom. All right. God bless all of you guys. And, I'm going to let Don Fleming close us out. Don, what you got, buddy? What you got? See you, Greg.
Actually, we're going to close out a little amazing Frankie Beverly. I can't get over you. I'll see you guys tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Of course, Greg will probably be asleep by then. But tune in tonight, and you never know who's going to call and hang out with us. Closing out again, Frankie Beverly and Maze, Can't Get Over You, Don Fleming, and Wardell Potts. Of course, we got Greg on. We'll see you guys tonight. Have a good one.
Now I realize I can't get over you. And though I do my very best, I just can't find happiness. And girl, it's all because I can't.
I'll try to lose myself. Oh.